This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Yo, 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 what's going on, y'all? How y'all doing this evening, man? Welcome to another sparking conversation, y'all. Well, y'all know what we do. We get on here and we chop it up. And today, I got a really great show for y'all. You know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about real estate investment. We're going to talk about a little bit more than just real estate, but we're going to talk about real estate investing mostly. Because one thing about our community is that they don't really pay attention to different ways or ways that they can bring in different income. Like, we understand so much how people, you know, in the rat race each and every day, they go to their 9-to-5s or whether they're working from home now or whatever the new culture is. But the thing is, though, is that when we get down to really thinking about our future and thinking about those that, you know, that really are looking up to us or looking towards us to really make a difference in their life, sometimes we got to think a little bit past just our paychecks or like paying the bills at the moment. We got to think a little bit more than that. We got to think a little bit past that. We got to start putting ourselves in a mindset where we could jump out there and really maximize on what we are earning. So that's why it's really important to have this conversation. You know what I'm saying? But first of all, before we do that, you already know I got to get into the sponsors real quick, which y'all already know with Collective Wear. Y'all know what we do, man. So y'all know where to get it. We got the fall line going on. You know, I got on the God and Goddess collection, as you can see. Y'all know how to get in contact with us. If you want to get any of the merch, y'all know just go to the tree. When you go to the link tree, it'll be up there. It'll have a link that says merchandise. And then, yeah, man, you could just go ahead and cop the merchandise. You could get the long sleeves, hoodies, sweatshirts, and the tees. You know what I mean? So thank y'all so much for all the people that do support, because a lot of people do hit me up and they do support the brand. So I want to just thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Because it's very important to make sure that you show love to the people that show love to you. All right. So thankful for that. So again, like I said, what we're going to do is that we're going to talk a little bit about real estate investment. I got two ladies in the building, and yeah, man, we're going to get into it, because what goes on out here, and I think is it's a miscommunication, though, you know, and what the miscommunication is a lot of times is that people always think that they can't do something or they don't have enough to do something. It's always something that has to do with money. When it comes to making money, a lot of people make the excuse that, oh, I don't have money to make money, or I don't have money to invest, you know, but that's not really the case. It's a lot of ways where you could be out here, you can be investing in things like that where you don't even need your money. You can invest with other people's money. you know, which is very important to know. A lot of people don't know that, but it's so important to get the right information. And not only that, get information from people who are already doing something. So I'm about to introduce one of my guests. I have my other guest who's here. She, something happened, I think, but she's going to jump back on in a minute. But yeah, so what we're going to do, I'm going to let jump in and I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hi.
Hello, hello. What's going on?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How you doing? Introduce yourself to the people.
My name's Salasia. I am from Raleigh, North Carolina. I've been doing quite a bit of, I do a little bit of everything, but one of the things that I'm passionate about is real estate investing. And so look forward to chatting with you guys about that today.
No doubt. No doubt. So you, you said that you were from Raleigh.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Richmond, Virginia, but I was moved down to Raleigh about 13 years ago, and right. I love it there. And then I'm actually in the process of moving back to Richmond, so I'm always moving all over the place. But Raleigh is home for the last 13 years.
Okay, dope, dope, dope. So Richmond is your spot. So we got Tracy in the building, so I'm gonna bring her in. Trace, what's going on?
Hey, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
No. Oh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can hear you very well.
Hey, Salasia.
Yeah. Hey.
I don't know.
Yeah, we can hear you. You sound loud and clear, too.
I'm not sure what's going on, y'all.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. You want to, if you go, well, we probably could do is like connect and reconnect again. Oh, you can't hear. Hold on. Let me see if I can get you in the chat. Let me text you. All right, so Salasia, we're gonna try to work on getting Tracy's mic situated in the background, mm-hmm. but we could talk a little bit until we get it together. Mm-hmm. So Richmond, Virginia. I have some family out in Richmond, yo. I kind of, mm-hmm. you know, Richmond is different, yo. The vibe in Richmond is really different, yo.
It is. So my family is all originally from New York, and they moved here. I'm the first grand that's born here in Virginia. So everybody else is from up top. And they're only here because they're all here. That's
right.
I don't think there was anything about Richmond that's like, man, gotta live there.
Right. Richmond is different, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. But you know, it's cool though. I'm not going, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to knock Richmond. It has a really, real deep history. And it's good to know that, you know, people like us are out there investing. Mm-hmm. In the area too, because you know Richmond, it has a history, y'all. And I know mm-hmm. a lot of people don't really know the history of Richmond, and then there's that do they but then they have a real history. So we appreciate mm-hmm. anybody who take the time to go back and reinvest in Richmond and kind of get some of that back. So let's talk a little bit about the different investments that you do. So mm-hmm. you know you do multiple things, right? You do mm-hmm. more than just real estate, but as far as your real estate portfolio, what made you get into real estate?
So I worked in banking for a long time and eventually ended up working in wealth management. Right. And one of the things that was common every time I would talk with somebody that had amassed a certain level of wealth was that real estate was somewhere in their portfolio. And so for me at the time, it was important to me to figure out how to get a piece of that. And so I started with, my first house I bought with the intention of it being in a location that would rent well. And, I lived in that house for a year and then I bought another one, lived in that house.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping and this is the sound of fashion overload.
Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
For a year, I bought another one. And I repeated that process four times. And that was kind of what kickstarted my interest in investment real estate overall.
Gotcha. So, all right. So you got the first one to live in. You lived in it for a year and then you got another one. So did you move? So what did you do? You moved in each new one each year and then rented out the one that you previously lived in?
Yes. So that was a process. It was easy for me to do it that way. That's not ideal for everybody to move every year. But I did it that way because it allowed me to get into the real estate market without doing a whole lot of money down. Because with a lot of investment real estate, you have to put anywhere from 15 to 20% down
right. in
certain loans or depending on the type of loan. But in this case, I was able to put anywhere from 3 to 5% down,
gotcha.
Get an ideal interest rate and just move on to the next.
Dope. So when you, did you happen to use any programs or whatever, anything like that? Cause I know a lot of times, which a lot of people don't know, but then some do, like, you know, FHA will allow you to, you know, as long as you live in the property for a certain amount of time, you know, boom. And so when you went and got your first property, did you go into it with the idea of this is what I'm going to do? I'm going to get this. I'm going to live in it for a year and I'm going to get me another one. Or did something transpire during that time that made you?
So I went into the house knowing that I eventually wanted to rent it. And actually that first house, I was there for 3 years.
Gotcha.
But I did buy that house with FHA. I was there for 2.5 to 3 years. And then I bought a house in a, you know, not too far from that neighborhood actually. And then moved. But yeah, I bought that one knowing that I wanted it to be a good, I knew it was going to be a good rental area. It's close to the school. It was close to, location was everything when I was kind of picking out which houses I wanted to purchase.
Gotcha. But no, that's not a bad, I know you said it's not ideal, but hopefully people that watch will kind of look at that as a good strategy, because most of the time when people rent, you know, they sign a year lease anyway. So either they're going to re-sign or they're going to move each year anyway, depending on if they do that based on market value or if they based on, you know, they want to save on rent or however that go. You know, or upgrade, you know, but in that process, people do. So that's not a bad way to look at it, though. I kind of like that. Like if you gave yourself a plan, like you gave yourself like a certain amount of time, like this is what I'm going to do. So once you got the fourth house, did you continue going from there, or did you jumpstart into another one of your hustles that you wanted to do?
So when I got the fourth house, I'll start off by saying, I had always anticipated my first house being a rental.
Right.
I think in the back of my mind, I thought I might get two or three. So then when I got to the fourth, it was like, okay, you know, this, and at this point, equity was continuing to grow. I could pull equity out of the houses and do other things with it. And so by that point, my feet were wet. And it was just a matter of trying to figure out how to, you know, expand upon that. So I pivoted a little bit from real estate and got into trucking around that time.
into trucking?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. As far as like driving or just owning the trucks?
So I did with a partner. We he drives and I kind of run the books and run the administrative side. And so we went and kind of used what we had accumulated from the real estate and put that into the trucking business and got that to a point that it was up and running and bringing in good income.
Oh, that's dope.
And so, and then once that was kind of on its own, on its in running on its own, I pivoted back to my first love and went into, up until that point, I had been doing buying properties just to put a tenant in it and move on. And so I wanted to see what the flip, fix and flip world was about.
Okay.
Oh, so I got a couple of properties that I renovated and sold for a little bit, which was good.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's cool. So when you was doing the fix and flips, did you continue to still have the rental properties or did you get rid of the rental properties?
Yep. I still have my first rental property to this day. I ended up just using the equity that had built up in those four rental properties and was able to use that to purchase the two flips that I did. And so
gotcha.
I didn't have to come, quote unquote, out of pocket in order to purchase. And that was one of the many benefits of real estate. You know, it's always appreciating. It's the one thing that you can, even if you have a down market here and there, you can almost 100% guarantee that it's going to grow and bounce
back. Yeah, definitely. So let me ask you, so when you, like, that whole process is like what we said, you know, going from, you know, jumping in, getting everything together with the real estate, with the four properties, and then moving over. So do you do your own property management?
So I, with my rentals, I don't. I wanted to find the property. What I enjoy is the hunt. I wanted to find the property, put whatever fixes I was going to put into it, and then after that, turn it over to the property management. So I do not have to deal with the day-to-day stuff at all. I get an email that says, this is what's going on, and here's when your check's coming. That's it.
Bet, because I was getting ready to say, that's going to be a headache. All right, let's see what we can do with Tracy. See if Tracy can in there.
Can you hear me? Us?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear you too. Yay! Hey. It was working, and then it wasn't.
Oh, man. Well, you know how that go. I'm glad you in here, though. All right.
Hey, Salasia.
Hey.
All right, so we were chopping up with Salasia for a little bit. She was getting into it. We kind of got up into, you know, getting into the trucking, but we still got a few more things that we got to get into. But I'm glad you're here. So introduce yourself to the people because we got to make sure we get that in properly.
Okay, well, I'm Tracy Pink Camera Bevin. Pink Camera is a nickname because of all the construction I do. Residential renovations. Property management, cabinet sales, flips, buy and holds, you name it, in real estate, everything real estate. I'm a licensed real estate agent for North Carolina. I have my own firm. And then I have a project management business where I assist clients who either don't have enough time to manage their projects because they have full-time jobs or they have other businesses that they're running. And they need someone to kind of help them with the flow of things, manage the contractors. So I have that business on the side. And then I also do my own homes where I group up with other investors and we purchase and flip houses. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And let's be quite clear. That Pink Hammer go for more than just, you know what I'm saying? That nickname is for real because it's a male dominated business. This is why this is so great to have this conversation with you two ladies, because you know it'll been typical for me to reach out to a bunch of males that's in this business and let's get their you know point of view. But a lot of times, you know, a lot of things take place with males that are different when it comes to women, because what I like to notice that, you know, when y'all have to deal with men who y'all have to tell what to do, whether it be a contractor or whether it be, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like you're not setting me up for the
listen, we gotta get into it because it's important. Because one thing I don't like we talk, like a lot of times amongst people, we get together and we talk, right? We talk about a few things in our community that are not right. One of the things that's not right is that we don't protect our women like we should. You know, people put us in a position to say, yo, we only protect the women that we have in our life based on what they do to our lives. But that shouldn't be the case. Like, a woman should be able to walk around anywhere and still be protected by the men that are there, regardless if they know her or not. So a lot of times in this business, we know men have a hard time with taking direction from a woman.
And that's every species of man. I swear, I think even the dogs is like, we're not taking answers. Like, don't tell us what to do. Like, every male species is having a problem with women telling them what to do. And it is all about building those relationships. So, and I'll let you jump in, Salasia, but I kind of miss, so I'm going to feel it. Just to let you know some of the things that happened to me. I've been held at gunpoint by a black man. Sorry, am I supposed to say that?
You got to tell your truth. Nah, this is what it's about.
I've been told I won't work for women by a Hispanic man. I have been standing next to a house with a clipboard t-shirt, all dressed in my khakis, and been bypassed by some inspector going to the toothless, half-drunk man standing on the corner because he was Caucasian. And and then at the job site, I'm either their mother, because the reason I'm pink camera is because I used to wrap all my tools in pink, hot pink duct tape, because the guys would steal them. But I literally did the work. I mean, the drywalling, the light fixtures, the flooring. I was at the job site for almost 12 years, physically getting up in the morning, my cup of coffee, picking the guys up, going to the job site.
Right. So
I've been confronted because they go through their money over the weekend and they want more money on Tuesday. So now they're going to, you know, try to flare up and boast up on me because I'm a woman and they think they can intimidate me.
Right.
It's crazy. I've had people want me to pay them for work they didn't do and literally go and cut water lines and think, so what I'm saying is that as a woman in this business, I mean, really digging into from the bottom up to the top, even in the boardrooms and stuff, I get underestimated, you know, and that these are just some blues, some negative stuff. Things that go down. There are some very positive things. Of course, if I've been in it 20 years, there have been some very positive things. A lot of love. Right. But these are some of the bad things that do happen just because I'm a woman. When I walk on the job site, I can't even be friendly. You know what I mean?
I've had guys
ask me to go get them water, and I'd say, you know, motherfucker, do you write the check? Can you write your own check? I get you the water, you can write your check, right?
Right.
I turn into his girlfriend or his baby mama
or his sister
or whatever, right? I'm relatable, so he started relating to me in the wrong, you know, from the wrong point of view. So,
but it's good, though. We need to know this, though, because one thing about it is that we want to encourage more people to get into investment because it's enough for everybody. And the way that it's set up, you know, everybody needs somebody on the ground a lot of times to help. It's a whole, all different types of ways for people to get into real estate. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, some people need to know, like, yo, don't be afraid to be who you are. So, Salasia, have you ever dealt with anything on, you know, with your property? Because you said you did some fix and flips. Mm-hmm. And all that. So I'm sure you dealt with some contractors and some things going on.
A little bit of everything. I think definitely to piggyback off of what Tracy said, when you get on a job site, as much as you might be that friendly person, you almost can't be that with a lot of your contractors until you really, really develop a long, long-term relationship. But because the moment that they see that either you're already going in an uphill battle. They already feel like you don't know what you're looking at. You don't know what you're talking about. They can do any kind of work and you won't know what to call out or what not to call out.
Right.
And then a lot of them will try to be buddy buddy, but they kind of like stabbing you in the back. So
you constantly
and I feel like this is more so for women than it's across the industry altogether.
Right.
But I definitely think it's a little bit harder when women go in because you're having to prove yourself in every room you walk into. And that's why I think it makes a big difference for the people that like Tracy and like myself who actually have been on the job sites and do work. Because you're gonna learn more than you ever would just sitting behind the desk, and then it demands a certain level of respect that I'm right here beside you, I'm looking at what you're looking at, and you can't pull the wool over my eyes.
Right. Which is the most important part about being an investor or being an investment, being a woman, being Black. We have all these things against us. And not only that, you know, a lot of times for men, you know, they still have this thing inside of them where they feel like they got to take advantage. I don't know why. You know what I mean? So that's why it was important for you guys to speak that, because, you know, what we want to do is make sure we get awareness out that, you know, it's a way to do this. And you're going to have to deal with a few things if you do jump in this business. But be willing to stand on your square and be like, yo, or we could always figure it out. Like if you got family members and all that, listen, they could be a part of the team without being a part of the team. Mm-hmm. Everybody could put on a little polo or something. If that's how they got to look professional enough to let them know that they can't play with you. But the one main thing that I took from both of y'all ladies that's very important is that when y'all walk on the job site, you could be who you are, but you cannot be friendly.
You can't be friendly.
You can be cordial, of course, respectable, of course, but you cannot be friendly. And that's one thing about it when it comes to doing business, keeping business business.
Right.
And people don't understand the difference between that. So let me ask y'all, either one of y'all could take this question. But another thing I want to do, because I want to get a little bit more into the positive part of it. But when it comes down to making sure that a deal is a deal for you, what's kind of the mindset that you got to be in whenever you're looking at a property or you're looking at a scenario, like, because both of you ladies do fix and flips, buy and hold, you know. So what's the mindset that it takes for you to look at a property and understand if it's a deal or not?
I'll jump in on that one. For me, I've done a couple of fix and flips, but my what I think I flourish in is buy and holds or short-term rental.
Gotcha.
And so for me, I have to take the emotional out of it really just look at the numbers. Is this a property that when I drive around, can I see that they're bringing shops in the area, that they're bringing attractions, that the properties are getting renovated? You know, does this look like a place where growth is progressing to, or is there a certain level of convenience to other things that are going that make this property worth it? Whether I love it, whether it would be the house that I buy for my mother, whether it would be any of those things, doesn't matter.
Out of it. Right.
It really just is, you know, do the numbers make sense? And in the long term, because my whole plan when I got into real estate was to make sure that at a period I wouldn't have to work for a check. That the investment real estate that I had gone into, or the long-term rental properties that I went into, that regardless of what happened with Social Security and investments and everything else, that this was a check that I could count on. Not have to get up for, per se. And so that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at in 10, 15, 20 years now, when this mortgage is paid off or whatever else, is this going to be something that can continue to turn a profit and continue to give me that consistent check?
Facts. While it's still building equity at the same time.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So Tracy, Woody, how you feel about that? Because, you know, you in there, and I know you got some cabinets, so you in there, like you actually in there when it comes
I'm in
to
there.
When
it, Yeah. So just play off Salaja, so is she. So Salaja's digging ditches, pulling, building fences, painting houses, the same as me. Like, I started off painting houses, and then, you know, I started off helping assisting my ex-husband, and then the investors realized that I had an eye for, I call it Walmart posh, which is Salesia knows that. So we're taking a little, mostly Walmart, mixing it with a little Neiman Marcus for that little pop, that little, you know, and staying within the budget. So it looks more expensive than it costs. And it's sellable. You know, it's all about the resale. It's all about, can you get somebody to rent it? Can you get somebody to buy it? Otherwise, it doesn't even make sense to do it. Is this a house that someone wants to live in? Is this a house that someone wants to, either way, you buy and hold or you resell it, they're living in the house. It's a personal thing for them. So you want it to be comfortable. So I have learned from my perspective, I like fits and flips. I don't like buy and holds. I'll do a buy and hold renovation mostly for another investor, right?
Gotcha.
But I love to fix and flip. And it is really about the location. It is about the numbers. And it is not, like she said, to spin off of Salesia. A lot of people get in there and they go, well, what I like in my house is, What I don't like cabinets that color. I don't like that kind of floor. But we're in the budget, right? Salesia is a number. And if we have a $5,000 floor budget, and what you like is putting us at $6,000, but you're not going to live there,
right?
So we have to pick something that's going to go with the theme of the house, the color scheme of the house that fits within the budget. And don't worry about if you want to live there or like it, you're not going to live there. And then the resale location, is it one of those spots where people are standing in line and making multiple offers on? If you get a house that's way out on some back country road with no paved driveway off the street, and there's potholes and mud that you got to get in to get to the house. The house can be worth, you know, $700,000.
Right.
But nobody
ain't going to want to live there. Yeah.
They don't even want, by the time they get their car back there to go do the viewing or the showing, they've already got a bad taste in their mouth. Now they're looking for every little flaw in the house they can find. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you want to set it up so that it has the beautiful curb appeal. So when they pull up, they want to go inside and see more. Right. Then they get inside and everything is elegant and simple, and it fits the budget of the house that you're, the price point that you're selling it at.
That's exactly right. Not the way you want it to look. So emotions, take your emotions out of it. That's two processes in real estate that, you know, I want to make sure that people pay attention to when they watch this, is that you have to take your emotion out of when you're getting the work done. And you have to take your emotions out of the way that the place looks. You can't be in there talking about, yo, I want marble this and marble that. If you want marble this and marble that, then you got to realize that you must got a clientele that's looking for that already. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't go into a process looking at it how you would look at it. And then now you in there got a whole house that somebody walking in and be like, yeah, I don't like that.
Right.
Because they won't.
Because
people won't. Because if it's something basic, white, clean, elegant, if a person really want to go in there and do something, they can see potential in their own eyes. Like, yo, I like this, but when I buy it, I'll come in here and do this. Yeah, let them. Yo, you do whatever you want once you buy it. But at the end of the day, you don't want to when you go in there, you making it up, or you over dramatize a place trying to oversell it.
You know how many times people have purchased a house and the investor went through hell and high water to get this special chandelier, and the first thing they do when they move in is take it down and put something they like from Home Depot. It happens all the time, and they spend three hours and $350 on something that literally lasted 30 days.
And that's some things that people should know, because when they get into this, whatever portion of real estate investment that people get into, because it's so many different parts of it. And people, I think that's a lot of things too. People get caught up in the HGTV. Version of real estate investment. Mm-hmm. So they think that that's what it is. That's all it takes. That's what it is. That's what you do. And it's always like that. But they don't understand. It takes research. It takes, sometimes it takes having a small little team too.
Right.
You know what I mean? Of people that, you know, that's dedicated like you. And not only that, a lot of times, like you ladies, both of y'all said, it got to make sense. So numbers, you got to be willing to, like, you know, be willing to crunch the numbers and know how to crunch the numbers and know where the value lie in this property. Because most people don't know that their exit strategy. Like, I know Salasia earlier when we was talking, he was like, yeah, you know, I bought this property knowing that I was going to rent this property out.
Right.
I didn't go into it, you know, with an ego. Oh, I'm buying me a house. Oh, I got me a house. I got me. You know what I'm saying? You didn't go in with an ego. You went in with a plan. You was like, listen, I'm trying to get this money. Everybody I talked to said in their portfolio, real estate is in there. So I got to figure this out. Because if everybody millionaires, and they say part of them being a millionaire got real estate in their investment, then I mean, their portfolio, then I got to figure this out. And you did that. Same thing with Tracy. Like you were saying, yo, you used to paint. You started from painting and helping your ex-husband, and then y'all moving on. And then you like, yo, hold on.
Right.
I'm about to do that. And so this is what makes this fly, because that's part of it where people don't understand that you don't have to. HGTV is fine. I get it. But that's not it, though, yo. Word up. I don't believe that that's the mindset people should take going into real estate, because they got to deal with stuff like y'all said. Contractors, egos of men, and emotion.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about this real quick, because you guys don't all only just do real estate. Like, it leads into other things when it comes into it. Like, we understand real estate is the most important part, but we understand that y'all do. Like, so ladies, you got into, like, you do trucking. And Tracy, you was doing cabinets. So let's talk about that for a minute, because I think that's mad interesting. That a person would take something that is literally needed in a house, an apartment, in a trailer, a cabinet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't think about it. It's almost like, yo, when we think about getting money, what business do we buy? Most people go get a hair salon. They do all this other stuff. Nobody buys toilet paper.
Right.
Nobody buys a paper towel company.
Right.
That was the first thing. Like, anytime a storm or anything, the first thing to go is paper towel and toilet paper.
Right? I was like, what was that all about? That was really odd.
It's like, yo, what are we doing here, yo? Like, like, these are businesses that we don't buy. Like, these are things that I'm saying, like, but in everybody's house is toilet paper, paper towel. So, mindset, again, I want to make sure we stay on that mindset. So, what made you jump into the fact of doing cabinets? I think it's dope.
Well, but it was crazy because, so I had a friend that had an account with the cabinet company, and I was an investor, and I did all their houses for them. And this was back in probably from 2008 to 2016, 17 or something like that.
Okay.
And so I started buying my cabinets from their off their account. And then I started doing the other contractors. They would come to me and I would they would pay me just to manage the ordering and the delivery. And then I kind of took over and created my own account. And I realized that not just the contractors need it, but then there are investors that need it. There are builders that need it. There and the home. I'm not so much into doing occupied homes. If someone's living there, you most likely won't see my face. Pink Cam is not showing up because I can't take the temperament, the mood swings, the beer budget, and the champagne taste. And I can't take that. But like when you're giving me an empty space where we have a chance to create, right? We can take cabinets, and cabinets can make a whole kitchen. I mean, you paint some walls and throw some nice cabinets in there.
Yeah,
right, and some granite countertops. You take a little tiny, you've seen those little tiny kitchens and with the glass, smoke glass windows. I mean, it just transforms the whole kitchen.
It does.
So I just started loving those, and then people just kept calling me. And then I did some brochures and a little advertisement and just kind of picked up. And I don't even touch the amount of business I could, you know, drum up if I actually focused on it. Wow. I get leads just going and telling people I sell cabinets, right?
Wow.
So, yeah.
And that's the power of networking, though, mm-hmm. because you be networking. Right. People, they don't understand. Like, you network. So the power of networking is amazing, because if you can get the business and be as successful as you are by word of mouth, that mm-hmm. says a lot. Right. So Leja, let me ask you this, though. So whenever you decided to do the trucking, did you guys decide, like, you were going to do certain type of contracts? Because I just want to make sure I get this correct. So whenever you do your loads, it's based off of contracts, right?
So you can do it that way. We focus more on expedited freight. So part of it, when we got into trucking, was right during COVID. And it was that conversation of, if we lost our jobs tomorrow, what would we do? And what would we enjoy? And we spent 30 minutes just writing down whatever ideas came into our head. And so my partner actually spent a significant amount of time determining the most inexpensive way to break into trucking. Everybody thinks trucking and they want to go and buy a semi. Well, they're like $100,000. So decided to go with what's called a hot shot, which essentially is the pickup truck that you see with the real long trailer in the back. And you're picking up the loads that are too small for a semi truck to take, or that need more direct shipping or expedited shipping. And so you can get contracts for those too. But we find that we do most of our stuff off of what's called load boards. And you just find each day it's a hustle. You're finding what's out there, who needs what sent when. Usually on a load board, it's going to be a little more, they're going to have a more of a need for it. And contracts sometimes will develop from those relationships. You might do something on the load board, and then, you know, you really cultivate that relationship from there. And then now that person's calling you back.
Gotcha.
The other thing that we've kind of been focusing on lately is, how do you marry the two businesses? So, you know, I've got places that I go get my cabinets from, or go get my flooring from. Well, I'm not the only person that they're shipping stuff to. So not only do I want to buy my flooring and my cabinets and stuff like that from you, but who are you paying to ship this to the next investor that doesn't have trucks and trailers? Because now you pay me, I can ship it to them, and I still am developing a relationship with you on both ends. Everything, you know, we're just trying to, when it comes to networking, I am the worst. Tracy will tell you, I don't go to nothing.
Leja, I'm gonna be honest, she's a beast. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, like, the girl's brain is a super brain.
I could tell, man. She takes
the pieces, and the thing is, it's the, so that I'm a brag on her, so she's not gonna do it herself. She might not network externally, but she networks internally. She can take her family members and the people that she knows and move everybody and adjust them in the right place, so that it is its own internal network working together, feeding each other, hands on, coming, you know, piling up in the house, getting things knocked out, painting, delivery. This person's doing that. Like, it's crazy. She has built an internal network that I don't know. In all my years, I have never met anyone that could do it that way with the family and friends. It's always usually backbiting, bickering, all that kind of stuff.
No
assignments, no paychecks. Like, she's running. She doesn't just hire her family. She pays her family. We have a tendency not to do that. I'm sorry.
People take advantage of their family a lot. And
so what she's doing now is she's circulating that wealth.
That's so dope, man. So look, so with the truck, so can you, do y'all wrap the trailer, the back part of it, so advertisement could go on the trucks actually when you're driving?
No, it's funny that you even asked that because I just had a question or just asked that question not so long ago of like, maybe it'd be worth wrapping the truck, but everything has really been so organic and so, right. You know, word of mouth and putting, you know, not to be like super spiritual, but, you know, right. I feel like God right. put the right people in the right place at the right, right. time. Right. And so all the extra advertisement, if you will, hasn't really been a necessary.
Right. It's not a necessary. Yeah. Well, yeah. you know, don't ever not being spiritual. Like, listen, we ain't gonna mm-hmm. ever, you know, you know, put that in nobody's pocket. If that's where it is, that's where it right. is. I think for me, I'm thinking more so not based on the advertising on that need. I mean, the base of creating another business. Because mm-hmm. now, you know what I'm saying? You can market for those companies that understand that they got these things for retail. So mm-hmm. they're paying you to market in. You wrap it for 30 days and then take it off. So it's another business within the business just because they're driving. And
oh, then, that's so smart. Let me smack you.
And then, but then you got routes. So on mm-hmm. those routes, you got always. And then now you can tell the people exactly where the truck going to be going or this route they're going to be going. These are the odds mm-hmm. and this is the
like
average.
A moving billboard.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can do moving billboard.
I hadn't even thought of that, but that's an idea. Yeah,
because I think they pay like $100 a day.
Just mm-hmm. to do it, and then just it's not.
And I'm always
that.
Driving like, around.
Imagine yeah. this. Now, imagine this. Now they have the digital screens now that you could put on the side of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That change every few seconds. So now, mm-hmm. not only are you doing that, you got multiple because now you got every 30 seconds you got a new advertisement that could go through, but you drive it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see what I'm saying? And people are seeing that. And it's just crazy. But at the same time, the people you're delivering for, if they have retail and if they marketing, they'll go ahead and double up with y'all because they like, mm-hmm. yo, yeah, this is gonna help market and promote exactly what I'm getting shipped. But mm-hmm. it's just an idea, it's just something to think about. You know,
that's okay. All you gotta do is plant the seed with her. You'll have a whole corporation based off of something like that.
It's just so fly because if you think about it, you know, every 30 days, and you know, they could get it wrapped or you could put it on the screen, either one, but it's mm-hmm. like, it's so dope. And then it's just so many different sides too. You got three sides of the truck, even the part that pulled down in the back, that right there, mm-hmm. you know. Anyway, all right, so what we're going to do I think the thing is, though, when it comes down to entrepreneurship, it's a way that it all can work. The mm-hmm. one thing about it is that people are afraid to give other people ideas with the fact that they think that person is going to leave them or leave them behind or, yo, let me not say this because they're going to do it and not. Look, it ain't about that. Like you said, mm-hmm. spiritually, when you put something in the atmosphere, it's going to come back.
And mm-hmm. if it's yours, there's nothing anybody can do to take it away. And I think, so I'm going to spin off of that. And I'm sorry. I just a thought popped in my head. But
when
I first started doing this business, I kind of broke away and was doing a lot on my own. Of course, I had the guys that I hired, but I was by myself. So I did the marketing, the accounting, the this, the that. Now, mind you, I think I pulled in a net profit by myself, going to the job sites every day of like $350,000. Now, I'm going to tell you, in that $350,000, I got no vacation. I had health problems. I had no relaxation. I had, things were getting done, but they weren't getting done correctly.
Right.
Like, you know, everything was a rush. Everything was last minute. Everything was, we got a deadline. Let me hurry up and get this done. So I had to put something else to the side to do it. And I say all of this to say, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you have to have a team spirit. You have to treat it, the relationships that you make, you have to see how to take it and grow it as a team. Everybody has something to contribute, right? And and setting up your businesses, you do what you got to do when you got to do it. But as you grow your business, you want to also grow the people that are involved on your team.
That's a fact.
And not be afraid that, they're gonna steal my clients away. They're gonna say, because whatever is yours is yours. And shooting yourself in the foot or holding yourself back or being constipated with the flow because you're afraid is not how an entrepreneur, we jump. Mm. Entrepreneurs jump. We take the leap, right? You're a perfect example. You take you. I've seen you lead crazy, Raji. Right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, hey, like I said, you know, it comes a time where you know most people want to talk, or they want to learn. But right. then they don't apply when it comes right. to either one. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just got to figure out whatever you're going to do and pull that trigger. I know we say that a lot in real estate. Like, you know, pull the trigger. When you talk to different people, I don't care if it's a mentor, they're going to tell you, pull the trigger. They're going right. to say, once you figure it, pull the trigger. If you get a thought in your mind, it's for you. Mm-hmm. So whenever you share it and you put it in the atmosphere, it'll come back. That's what I'm saying. So, like, giving each other ideas. That's the one thing about having, which I wish we did more so with what they call think tanks, mm-hmm. where a bunch of people get together, they figure out different everybody's business and figure out different ways that they can help give those people in their business other ideas to help elevate their business.
And do they do that?
No, they don't do that. They don't do that no more, nowhere. But a lot of times they don't do it is because, you know, when you get into that whole scenario about business, then you got people who always are thinking about the money first. Mm-hmm. As long as people think about the money first, they always going to be on the wrong spirit. Because mm-hmm. if you think about what you're doing, like it's the product. If you think about the product first, the money going to come.
Right.
If you think about the numbers, the money going to come. If you take the emotion out of it, the money going to come. The money is not the issue. It's the fact of what's the product.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, and if the product is what we're talking about, then why can't people come together, put their minds together, and then figure it out? They don't do that no more, you know? Like, we go to the real estate investment meetings, and right. when you go in there, it's almost like a think tank. The only difference is a lot of people in there don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people right. are just soaking up, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out what they could get for themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. We understand mm-hmm. that. But right. after it, they don't network, they don't talk, they don't ask no questions, they just mm-hmm. and they out.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Or they go to the person that they think has something that they want.
And that's no the only person they talk to. No one's offering
anything. That, you know, that's an excellent idea. What you just said about man. That version of networking. What do you come to network, but come to give. Don't come to take.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's something for everybody. And then you never know, man, like that one idea that you get, that could spark something else. And then you never know. That person may come back to you like, look, man, I appreciate what you did for me. Yo, boom.
Right. Right.
I figured out this. I got this idea over here. And somebody told me, let me turn you on to this. It's like when I look at that, I always think about, you know, karma. You know, people always try to use karma in a negative connotation when they talk right, about karma.
Right, but it works both ways.
But it's a such thing as positive karma too.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you do right by people, it's going to come back to you right. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're going to go through a few things. Good people go through bad things. You know what I mean? But that's how we appreciate the good things. If we didn't, we wouldn't appreciate it, right?
But I'm a perfect example of that.
before we, you know what I'm saying, before we get out, because we got a little bit more time, though, but I want to talk to y'all about how is it that y'all are able to stay motivated? What type of support do you feel like it's needed? Because people feel like, yo, if so-and-so ain't with me or so-and-so ain't saying it, I ain't going to do it. I only could do it if the person that I'm around or with or people that you associate with agree. And that's not how that goes. No,
you got to find your like-minded spirits. And connect with them. And a lot of times, or some of the times, they are outside of your genetic pool. Mm-hmm. Or your romantic pool. Mm-hmm. I just finished having a conversation that you'd be surprised how many significant others, both male and female, will be so afraid of their spouse or girlfriend or whatever, excelling or evolving into something so magnificent that they can't hold on to them, so they hold them back.
Gotcha.
And the person who loves them allows it because they'd rather keep the relationship than see how far they can go, right? Mm. It happens a lot. So you got to sometimes step outside to find, I don't even remember how I met Felicia. But you find your angels who say, you know, suck it up. We're going to make it through this. we're gonna calculate, recalculate, right, Salaja? Mm-hmm. We're gonna add this. I'm gonna do the budget again. You could do it. Just hold on. Or they get you drunk.
You like, say forget about it, and then next thing you know, the next day something happens, and then boom. Right. Yo, what was I worrying about anyway in the first place? So, Salaja, how do you feel about that? Like, how important is it the still move, even if you're not feeling motivated or supported by those you feel like you're supposed to be?
You definitely have to find your circle. And then you also have to understand that some journeys, you're not going to have motivation. And it's not meant for everybody to go. And it's not meant for everybody to understand. If something was placed on your heart, on your spirit, or whatever, sometimes we go through this process of trying to get, we heard something for us, and then we try to get the people around us to validate it. Right. But sometimes that's validation is not going to come. You have to know and trust within yourself what it is that you're getting, what your purpose is, and then go from there. So I'll say, on one hand, definitely, like Tracy said, find your circle, find your people. On the other hand, learn to be your own safe space.
Gotcha.
Be your own motivation. Your own
superhero.
And your own superhero to push yourself through the days. And when I say that's just yourself, I don't necessarily mean that, you know, that team of me philosophy, because I don't believe in that. Nobody gets anywhere by themselves.
Right.
Whatever your thing is, whatever your safe space, whether that safe space is spending time with family, whether that recalibrating space is going to church or going to the gym or whatever, but you need to know what that space is with you that you can push through even when you're not motivated, because there's going to be a whole lot of days that you don't feel getting up, you don't feel like staying up, you don't feel like doing whatever it is.
Oh my God. And you hate everybody.
Exactly. You hate everybody and don't want to talk to nobody.
And
so,
you still got to do it though, right?
You still got to do it. You still have
to. And I think that's the one thing a lot of people don't do. They stop at that. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? They stop at whatever that thing is that got them in that place and position or in that mode in the first place. Because I'm a firm believer that a lot of times your subconscious dictates what you really are going to do. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to how you really are as a person, mm-hmm. you know, manifestation and affirmations is so important in anything you're doing entrepreneurial. Because if you kind of put yourself in that position, if you don't already speak it and you don't believe it in yourself, how are you going to expect somebody else to believe? Or how are you going to get the universe to work for you if you're not telling the universe what to do? You know, we doing too much asking. Like it's not there. It's like, yo, you got to tell it. Already there. You tell it what you wanted to do. Tell what you say, what you want. Say how you want to do it and then go do it. Visualize it. Go do it. You know what I mean? A lot of people are scared to imagine or use their imagination. Once they become an adult, somewhere along the line, people told them to stop using your imagination. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. Your imagination is the most important thing that you can have as an adult. Or if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you got to have imagination. Because if not, how can you see past Salaja? Like you said, how can you see past this first house?
Mm-hmm.
Going into four, how can you see past that? Or Tracy, how can you see past going in there painting a house to going in there saying, hold on, I could figure out a product that just go inside the house and I ain't got to paint nothing. I can just bring the color, bring the whatever. Like, it got to be a transition in there, yo, that helps you say to yourself, like, yo, I can see that, I can imagine myself doing that. And that's why it was so important talking to y'all today, man. And I'm very, very, very appreciative of y'all giving me y'all time, giving the people y'all time, first off, you know what I mean? And sharing some of the things about yourselves that make y'all who y'all are and tick on a day-to-day basis, especially when it comes to real estate investment or investment in all together. I know you ladies do way more than the things that we talked about tonight, but we want to give them an opportunity, or you guys an opportunity to come back on another time. We're going to talk about other things because sparking conversation, I talk about so many different topics that we have, you know, dealing with as a people and as a culture. You know what I mean? So I want to come back and get into some of the other hustles. And then, Tracy, you already know what we got going on. We're going to have another one. We're coming on talking about a lot of the things that we're doing at 40 Mil. Right. You know what I'm saying? And at the same time, you know, I just want to make sure that people know, like, if they want to get in contact to see the things that y'all are doing, maybe see some of the properties y'all have available or anything, how can they get in contact with y'all?
We're both on Facebook, but go ahead, Salasia. Tell them, because her Instagram videos are something to watch.
I have so many Instagrams, but for real stuff, I am at artistview_properties, and that's artisview_properties. Tracy always jokes and says I need a camera to follow me around. So
wow, she's a hard
I'm trying to do better with posting all the things that we've run into, but definitely keep up with all the different projects at that page.
That's dope. Mm-hmm. That's dope. All right, what up, Trey? Tell them how they can figure out what's going on with you.
Well, I'm Tracy Pink Hammer Mebbin. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I think it's just Tracy_Pinkhammer, all one word. And I have a Facebook page called The Day in the Life of an Entrepreneur, which, you know, you can look at. And I post things, encouragement, you know, things that kind of, you know, funny things, some videos I make. I got a little warped sense of humor, so bear with me. But yeah, so it's Tracy, just look for Tracy Pinkhammer. I got a pink suit on and a smile that looks like it was painted on. I still don't know how I did that.
That's so funny. That's so funny. And you have your own podcast as well. So make sure people go check.
Blues. Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Pink and Blues. Yeah.
So make sure y'all check that out. And again, I appreciate all y'all for checking us out. Don't forget that today's show was sponsored by Collective Way. Y'all already know. I got on the Goddess and God collection right now. Yo, y'all know what we're doing out here. Don't forget that, you know, support is something that you can give and you can receive it. Right. It doesn't always mean that, you know, you're going to get something out of it, but something can come from it just by you being willing to be a participant in growth of someone else. So don't be afraid. All the people that's watching, don't be afraid to step outside of your box. Don't be afraid to step outside of your comfort zone. And definitely don't be afraid to get money. You don't have to focus on how much. You just got to focus on the process of making sure that you can always get money. If you work a 9-to-5, we encourage you to say to yourself, if I lost my job today, what would I do? If I got up this morning and I went to work or got myself together to do my normal routine and that routine was shut off, how would I continue to go? How would I continue to grow? And if you don't think about that now, then when that time comes, trust me, it'll be a rat race for you trying to figure out what you're going to eat. And then you definitely not going to be thinking about investing. So while you got the comfortability of it right now, y'all, please think about it. Figure out something. There's so many different things to get into. We hope that we inspired y'all to at least look into anything that y'all can research that's dealing with real estate, different types of real estate. Contact us separately if y'all want to figure out some other things that, like I said, we're going to put together this mastermind coming up soon, y'all. And if y'all want to come, we're going to sell tickets. We're not going to just put it up there. These ladies are going to be on a panel. We're going to have a dope panel up there that you can ask questions with, and we can all build. But, you know, we ain't going to have y'all sit up here saying, I'm going to come and then don't show up. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because we're going to have food and all that other stuff there, making sure everybody's comfortable. We're going to get in there and build with nothing but entrepreneurs or the mindset of entrepreneurs, and we're going to come out of that just like we're supposed to on the ground running. You know what I'm saying? So again, thank you ladies so much for joining me. I appreciate y'all so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And we got to chop it up again, y'all, on some other stuff. We got to chop it up again, y'all.
Definitely. All
right, definitely. So I appreciate y'all. Hold on. Don't go away real quick. I'm going to end the show, and then we're going to come back to it, though. But I definitely appreciate y'all, all right?
Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. So look, y'all, I want y'all to think about this, man. You know, even if y'all don't do nothing else, I want y'all to really take advantage of figuring out, replay this message or replay this video. And then just, you know what I'm saying, try to figure out different ways for you guys out there that's watching to get into some real estate, y'all, or get into some type of investment. Again, thank y'all from Collective Way, right? Y'all know what to do. Get with us, y'all. If y'all want to get some of the merchandise, all you got to do is go to my Linktree, and then you can find the merch tab, and you can support all the merchandise. Get y'all some fall gear. Get y'all some fall wear, and we'll keep on moving. Again, thank y'all for streaming all the music that y'all streaming out there. Thank y'all so much. It's really moving out there. I appreciate y'all. That record feels so good. It's moving. Y'all are doing such a good job of pushing play. I appreciate all of y'all out there to take the time to rock with anything I'm doing. This is your boy, Ra One. Again, like I said, y'all, we sparking and we conversating. Until next week, y'all, double salute. Word up.